B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in and good morning, everybody. My name's Mark. That's Bob. Jamie's over there. Pat Egan's over here somewhere running around doing his yeoman's work.
Huh? See how good he looks today? Isn't he handsome? He trimmed the beard.
He looks dapper.
I would say that.
Is it well kept or well kempt?
Kempt.
Yeah, I think he's just physically is presenting beautifully. Right.
He is.
You know what? He does have the Gabe Kapler toit beard thing going on there.
Yeah, he does.
He does because he trimmed it up all nice. I haven't trimmed the
kicking ass and taking names.
Like 2 weeks, I haven't taken a clipper to this this beard. So I got to do that at some point. But anyway, and then I can be more like Pat. But, you know,
which is what we all aspire to be.
when we're all reviewing 2020, this fine year of 2020, you know what our major takeaway from the year should be? At least we weren't attempting to make an NBA career for ourselves in China. Oh, my God. Did you guys read this story about China? Like, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know they were, like, bullying the hell out of players over there. I was reading this yesterday, and I was going, oh, NBA China, do I really want to get involved in this? And I was like, oh, I'll give it a skim, right? I'll just page through it real quick. And it turns out they're, like, trying to have these guys out there in China, like, look for the next, I think, Yao Ming or whatever. And it's an NBA-sanctioned thing. However, their jurisdiction only goes so far. And it turns out they're beating the crap out of these players, like, kicking them, throwing balls in their face, right? All kinds of horrible stuff. And that's just, you know, if you want an NBA career, this is the program you got to go through. Good God. It's the most, like, communist, like, China thing you can read outside of, like, real serious stuff where people are dying. Like, yeah. This is, like, unbelievable.
Yeah. It's not a small deal that ESPN's the one that ran with that story.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
That's not a small deal at all.
Not even a little bit. And when I was reading, I forget who it was that put out one of the stories I was reading today. But they went through the specifics of, like, beating the crap out of players in order to motivate them. And American coaches over there, they were like, this is the NBA, kind of, sort of. You can't do that. And then literally feeling sick to the point where they quit and came back home to the United States. Like, that was, reading that yesterday was like, well, you know, 2020 has been a terrible year, but, you know, at least we're not out there in China getting the crap beat out of us. So there's that. But more bad news yesterday. The lead story for a lot of the day was Rob Manfred telling everyone basically that they can't punish the Houston Astros for cheating and winning a World Series. That was the lead story for a lot of the day yesterday. The Phillies gets announced that they're going to be playing a doubleheader, what, on Saturday now?
Saturday.
So that's what they're doing.
Might be seven innings, Mark.
It might be seven innings. The MLB, I believe, is voting on all that. So that's a wild thing. And then already, before anyone put pads on at any point in the NFL, we get a story about Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson reportedly has tested positive for COVID-19, and reportedly Nate Gary and Jordan Mailata came in contact with Lane Johnson at some point. I was actually worried about Lane Johnson in the offseason. Because I knew he was having other guys over his gym. Because he built, what is it, the Bro Gym? What does he call this place?
The Bro Barn.
The Bro Barn. Thank you. He's got the Bro Barn going on. And he's got all sorts of people coming over there and working out. And I'm like, is this really the best idea? And according to Lane Johnson, he took proper precaution and all that other stuff. And then he was hosting a party in Texas as well. Like, I don't know if you've kept up with Texas. I know we've made fun of Florida a lot. Texas is right there. Like, that's just
Texas. Oh, yeah. Texas is West Florida.
It's Central Florida, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, since it's West of Florida, we'll call it West Florida. Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at it like, what the hell is going on here?
Spin zone in a twisted new reality. It's better to get it out of the way before the season?
Yes, twisted new reality. Sure. Okay.
If I'm looking at it selfishly as an Eagles fan, I'm going, all right, well, at least we don't have to worry about Lane in season.
I would feel like that if it was one isolated incident, but now two other players are also like, hey, the Eagles are like, hey, why don't you stay home for a while?
So they're going to have a chicken pox party.
As horrifying as that might sound. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, but we haven't even seen the Eagles put pads on yet in practice. They've literally only reported to training camp, and already one person's like, guys, I can't be hanging out right now. I got this COVID-19 thing going on here, so I'll see you in a little bit. This does not inspire confidence in you, just like you see players testing positive for Major League Baseball, shutting down what two teams should be doing at least, affecting four other teams. that's not exactly giving you a lot of confidence that they'll be able to start and finish anything. You don't want this to start out this way. I understand the silver lining, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. But Lane Johnson says he feels fine right now, says if the season started, he'd be ready to go. There's real no issue. There's no issue as far as he's concerned right now. But he still has to isolate. He has to stay away from the rest of the team. Just because, God forbid, this thing actually spreads, and then you have to delay your training camp. So this is the story that you want to start things out with.
Where is he right now?
I think he's home in Jersey.
Okay, he's home in Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he lives here full year round now.
Yeah, I was looking at all the stuff yesterday, and I couldn't figure out where he was. I couldn't figure out. I figured the Eagles tested him, but I didn't know if it was he was here, if he tested before he came here. I didn't know which one it was.
I thought they had footage of him, unless it was stock footage, of him driving out of the NovaCare complex yesterday on the phone. And to me, look, this is not, as we said, the obvious thing here is this is not how you want to start out a season. This is not how you want to start out a training camp. But it does make you think about what other players were doing while this was shutting down. I mean, think about this. These are guys from all throughout the country. These are guys from different backgrounds entirely in some cases. And they're all coming back together. And as we know from talking to our own friends that are spread out throughout the country, family members following news stories throughout the country as well, not everybody is handling this or taking it as serious as maybe you would like them to. And no better example than Florida, no better example than the state of Texas either, no better example than just watching the news every night or reading stories every day about people that are just like, hell with you, I'm not wearing a mask, this thing ain't real. Literally the head coach of the football team in his New Year training camp start off press conference came out and said, we acknowledge that this is real. All right, cool. Oh, yeah, that should be an obvious thing here.
Yeah.
But these are all these guys coming back from all these different backgrounds, all these different states, all these different areas, now back to one central location. So now would be the time to just nip it in the butt immediately. Nip it in the butt immediately and make sure that everyone there at the NovaCare complex is as safe as humanly possible. They did the testing. The report came out that he tested positive. Two other players may have come in contact with him, so they're isolating those players as well. It's what the Eagles have to do. Even some people that are looking at the two negative Phillies testing periods that have gone through now are like, oh, well, see, you shouldn't have canceled a couple of games here. Shouldn't have postponed them. No, you got to exercise all the precaution in the world. Even if everyone's fine, you still got to take the most precautionary measures possible. And that's what the Eagles did yesterday. And I give them credit for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Silver lining that he had it now before everybody gets together. Maybe. I mean, who knows? It's going to happen, and we all know it's going to happen, right? We know that players in the NFL are going to get it.
Yes.
Nip it in the bud as soon as it happens, get rid of them, tell them to go away, whatever it may be. It's handled right so far in the NFL.
So right now it is. Everything else, I mean, Lane Johnson was around a lot of different people in the offseason. I'm sure everybody was. But
yeah,
when you do factor in the idea of Lane going through this whole period of having people work out in his gym, his bro barn, as we mentioned, hosting a party in Texas, I believe it was.
On his Instagram post, he said that was 18 days ago.
Okay.
The offensive line mastermind. So, in theory, everybody should be clear of that.
You would hope so.
You would hope.
Okay. And then he was in Jersey, right? Because that was in Texas, the mastermind.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he was around other players there as well, mastermind.
Yeah. A lot of offensive linemen.
So it really makes you think. And I think Andre Dillard was one of those offensive linemen, if I'm not mistaken.
I would sure hope so.
After talking to Brandon Lee Gowen yesterday, and really anything that's been said about Andre Dillard in the offseason, yeah, we all cross our fingers that he was there at least working out.
If my all-pro right tackle was hosting a camp for my position, yeah, I'd make it a point to be there.
So I do have concern if this is what one player was doing, Lane Johnson, and we know so many things about what he did throughout the offseason, what are the rest of these guys doing, or what did the rest of these guys do? Because this is the moment where they all come back together. And I know that if I'm about to go back to work for an extended period of time and potentially be away from my family for a long period of time,
right,
I know there's a negative connotation to this, but I'm getting in the partying. That's how I'll phrase it.
Yeah, and I'm saying goodbye. You know, like Lane Johnson has a grandmother that he's brought up numerous times, right, about how cool his grandmom is, drinking beers and stuff like that, and hating the Cowboys. You know, you're not going to go see Granny and say goodbye to her if you're going up to Philly and you're going to be gone for a few months. Mm-hmm. You're not saying goodbye to family. You know, you're gathering. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all look, I went to see cousins last night. I have very few cousins, and some of them came in from North Carolina last night. We went over and we met. I mean, we sat outside and sat social distance. But, you know, is that right to do?
Right.
And that's just me.
Right.
Like, you know, these guys, they're human beings first before they're football players. Saying goodbye to parents, grandparents, whatever it may be, before you're going off to be away maybe for 2 or 3 months. You know, it's kind of expected as a human being.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about this, the ramification, obviously, that it means for the Eagles for this season. And hopefully this isn't anything that grows beyond anything the Eagles can control at this given time. Because as we were talking about yesterday, optimistically speaking, you're not going to be going out there facing any other teams until September. So right. This is where you can, you have the most, you're most likely to control whatever happens in your own building. It was a great first step in getting the NFL to approve what the Eagles wanted to do as far as safety protocol. We saw the guys walking through the bike racks, essentially, going up to get testing. Then last week, they even got tested, went home, came back, got tested again. And then you start training camp officially in a couple of days here. So this wasn't exactly what you wanted to. You could say, hey, look, one person and then two possibles. Okay, fine. But you would rather have that big fat goose egg, especially when you have another round of testing that just happened in the NBA bubble that came back with zero positive tests as well.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that you just look at and go, does any sport really have a chance of starting and finishing if there is no bubble? And I know a lot of people are actually feeling pretty confident that it will be shut down if you don't have a bubble. And I'm trying to be optimistic with this. The bottom line is they're going to try this again anyway. Phillies are going to try this again. The Marlins are going to try this again. Every team in baseball is going to be continuously trying this as the 60-game season goes on. Now, speaking of that 60-game season, what I still can't get over, and it was a story before all of COVID hit, was the Houston Astros and how baseball was going to treat this one particular team.
This is a great storyline.
Was the official number like it's 22 and a half game suspension and a 162 game suspension?
Yeah, it was roughly
21, 22, something like that.
22, yeah. Let's say 22 game suspension if it was 162 games. Joe Kelly gets suspended 8 games for throwing at 2 batters and hitting 1. He came high and tight, right? He was obviously trying to hit these guys, or at least really send a message to them. 8 game suspension. Little much, or because he went to the head and went after 2 different guys, this was totally appropriate.
I thought it was a little much.
I think it was a lot much.
That was going to be my phrase,
like,
a lot much.
Like, here's the deal. I understand that, you know, someone could have been hurt, all right? I get that. But when you as an organization, Major League Baseball, choose to not condemn cheating, that means there's no rules. No, there's no rules.
You put the policing in players' hands.
And here's the thing that, like, I don't know. I'm more upset about it than I think I should be. If the benches didn't clear, you're not looking at an 8-game suspension. You might be looking at a 2-game suspension, 3-game suspension. At most, a 4. He's getting at most half that. But he's not getting 8 games. He's not getting an 8-game suspension. According to a couple of different baseball writers that I follow, they put the story out there yesterday saying that Major League Baseball needed to send a message that they couldn't have bench clearing in this season of baseball.
So they're sending a message not to have bench clearing. They're sending a message to Joe Kelly not to throw at heads.
Yes.
I'm sorry. What was the message that they sent for cheating and winning a World Series?
Did
that message get lost?
If you tell us everything, we're cool. If you tell us everything, we're fine.
Rob Manfred is coming off as the biggest bonehead of COVID-19 in all of sports.
And on the other side of it, Adam Silver is coming off as like the greatest hero.
Did you watch him on Wolf last night?
I heard him on Wolf last night. I listened to the interview. I can't say that I paid attention to everything he was saying. I was listening to it. And the guy's a damn hero is how he comes off. Baseball is that. Like, we all know baseball has had a lot of ground to make up over the last 25 years or so, right? When you watch how baseball has handled the last 4 months, it might be above and beyond anything worse. Or actually, really, the last 6 months, if you include the cheating scandal, obviously. If you think about it like that, baseball, you might look at any other sport. I can't remember a sport to look worse in a shorter amount of time more often than baseball. Like, their batting average for days to look stupid has been, I don't know, they're hitting around 500 right now.
An unbreakable record.
That's not in the history books just yet, but good God, they are impressive. Like on a
Cal Ripken streak, DiMaggio, Rob Manfred looking like an idiot. They're all kind of unbreakable sports records.
It's impressive.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
to not have protocol in place that we thought we would have in place as just sports fans, just to keep these players active. Like, if you were really looking forward to the baseball season, you got to be looking at Major League Baseball right now. Like, wait a minute, hold on a second. Were you guys even trying, or were you too busy trying to fight a collective bargaining agreement argument that's not due for another 2 years? Because that seemed to be more important throughout this whole process. But to go back to that was the start of it. Looking at the Houston Astros cheating scandal was a huge part of it, obviously. And now it's spilled over into disciplinary action for this year, where the players feel like, well, hold on a second. The game's not going to police anything. So that means I have to police something. And that's where Joe Kelly comes in with an 8-game suspension.
I think a lot of players around the league have a new respect for Joe Kelly.
Oh, yeah, he's going to have Joe Kelly Day.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a roses parade, a rose petal parade down every stadium he comes to.
A triumph?
Yeah, the other clubhouse is going to be sending him fruit baskets and edible arrangements. He got a lot of support.
And edibles. You know, just anything he wants.
Yeah, I think Free Joe Kelly is officially a hashtag now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Mike Clevenger.
That's great.
What's his name? Marcus Stroman. A lot of guys have come out in support of him. And basically said, like, this is a joke. I understand why the public is outraged.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to...
Love it. I think it's a great storyline for baseball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
At their own wrongdoing.
Right. Something interesting in baseball? Okay, I'll take it. You know? So we'll talk about that.
And I'll put the picture out that Joe Kelly put up on Instagram from our station account. If you haven't seen that one yet...
Oh, no, I haven't seen Joe Kelly's picture.
Oh, he posted on Instagram.
Oh, he went on Insta, did he?
And he put Bregman, Correa... and Altuve heads on little children sitting on his lap.
Oh, wait, he posted that?
Yep.
That was awesome.
I just thought that was some fan.
No, was Joe Kelly.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's just one marker of stupidity. The other marker of stupidity has to be 7 innings of a baseball game. Was it Little League? High school? How many innings they play?
High school goes 7, yeah.
High school goes 7. That's different, you know. I know in the minors when they got doubleheaders, they'll go 7 innings, right? I can't stomach a 7-inning baseball game. I just think that is. I know that it's trying times. This is a compounded problem of stupidity in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
we can't do one thing right here, so we're going to continue to do everything wrong. I know that they got games to make up. I've told you, I'm out on this baseball season as far as emotional investment, really. I'm looking at it as a more or less tryout or audition to see what the Phillies have in the coming years. I'm really not emotionally invested in this season. I got hockey to focus on. I got basketball to focus on from my fandom. And I got concern about football season and whether or not that's going to happen, whether or not it's going to start and finish, right? Baseball, I don't have a lot of emotional investment. But when it comes to a 7-inning game, that just seems dumb. Why would I do that? I don't like, for instance, I know people talk about a precedent being set and all that. I'm not really a big fan of precedents being set. But when it comes to something like this, if you make one wrong decision, don't compound it with more wrong decisions.
Yeah.
It's a long list. It's turning out to be a laundry list, a lineup, if you will, of dumb decisions.
Yeah. Two wrongs don't make a right. This is so bad. Did you see Matt Gelb's tweet last night saying, all right, here we go, baseball 2020. The Phillies are going to play a doubleheader on Saturday, but they're going to be the away team at their home ballpark, and it might go 7 innings because the team that's coming in didn't have a place to play when the season started, and because they haven't played in 5 days because another team came in and played with sick guys. Like,
yeah.
What the hell is baseball doing, Mark?
I don't know.
Like, what did Rob Manfred, did he go into the season and say, like, every time a question was brought up, did he say, we'll see when we get when that happens. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, because that's what it seems like. Mm-hmm. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And now he's come to a bunch of bridges and he's trying to figure it out on the run. Like, this guy's coming off as a stone cold idiot. I don't
correct.
I just don't know.
Well,
like, what is baseball doing?
I'll tell you right now. Matt Klentak didn't do the commissioner of Major League Baseball any favors yesterday. Matt Klentak. Oh, and we'll let you hear from it later. But Matt Klentak basically. And you could be the biggest anti-Matt Klentak fan or person in the world. He actually did something good yesterday and call out Major League Baseball. And I don't even know if he called out Major League Baseball. But Matt Klentak basically went after it by saying, we knew a little bit about the Marlins issues. We didn't know all of it. Didn't the commissioner come out and say that the Major League Baseball got involved?
Yep.
If Major League Baseball got involved, how does the other team not know all the details before they put their team on the field?
The host team.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just talking about a baseball game. You're talking about the host organization.
Mm-hmm.
The team that is housing in their ballpark another team that is infected with this coronavirus. And you kind of just blew it off and said, yeah, but get the nine innings in.
We knew some of it. We didn't know all of it. Like, how do you not? Like, that's where, Bob, I think you're right. That's where you hope, as an organization, baseball, Major League Baseball, was just like, oh, yeah, we didn't know. They didn't tell us, so we kind of put our hands in
there. Oh, no.
But they already tried to take ownership of it. And you hope almost that the Marlins just had that team meeting going, well, do you want to play? Yeah, okay. And then you text, what, Joe Girardi, I guess? And you say, hey, a couple of our guys have coronavirus. Do you want to play? Like, I don't even know if they asked them officially. But what Matt Klentak put out there yesterday, which I thought was amazing, and good for him for doing this, it was great. It was saying simply, yeah, we knew some of it, but we didn't know all of it. Like, how is there not an open line of communication here? Like, you don't got to name names. If there's HIPAA laws involved as far as that goes, I get it. But when it comes to actually just telling a team, hey, we got some guys affected with COVID-19. I don't know if we should play this. That should have been the conversation. It shouldn't have been, so what do you want to do? We got three, four guys at this point.
Yeah.
It's just, it's remarkably dumb is what it is. So we got that to talk about. We got some NBA stuff. Matisse Thybulle, we got into that conversation a little bit later in the day yesterday about whether or not Matisse has earned himself a spot in the starting five. How would you work it? I want those gears to start turning. How would you work it with Matisse Thybulle in the starting five? Does that mean that Shake Milton would go back to the bench? Does that mean Tobias Harris would be your four and Ben Simmons would become your point guard again? Does it mean Al Horford might get a second chance in the starting lineup? That I wouldn't do, just to get that out of the way. But how would it work? Has he earned more minutes than a guy like Shake Milton? How would you work the starting five if you were to have Matisse Thybulle in the starting five? First off, would you have him in the starting five? Second, what would it look like after that? Because we talked about how well he's been playing since the restart in the three games that they've played as a warm-up to the eight games. I think the jury's still out as to what the starting five will be come the start of the playoffs. I think Brett's still going to use those eight games to mix and match and see what works. Not saying that's what I want, but going by how Brett has approached this in the past, I think he's going to get multiple looks at guys in those eight games. I know we broke that down a little bit yesterday as well. So we got that to get into today. We got Lane Johnson to talk about. We got the Dodgers punishment to talk about. 8 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by Ed Barkowitz. Talk about Elaine Vigneault. Wrote a great piece today. We'll talk about that. 9 o'clock, we go inside the bubble.
Yeah.
We talked to Keith Pompey, who's in Orlando, Florida. You think Keith's doing a little bass fishing? Is it a little bass fishing for Keith?
I would be surprised.
Surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Keith and I know each other very well. Obviously, live right near each other, have traveled the country together.
You've never
I don't
back.
See him being a bass fisherman. Huh. I could be wrong.
Golf, maybe?
No, I don't think. Okay. I think I've invited Keith Goffin a few times. I don't think that's up his alley.
So we got that.
He's a burger guy. Likes his burgers.
Okay, so let's see what the best burger is in the bubble. What's the best bubble burger, Keith? That's how we'll leave that interview at 9 o'clock today. And then I am now officially caught up on the Matisse Thybulle vlog. So I'm all
over. Oh, did you? You saw the last one?
I'm all over it.
Wasn't that great, the social meeting that they had?
The social meeting that they had about, you know, evolving the American mind, basically.
Yeah.
I thought was fantastic. What was so great about that, the one thing in particular that I really appreciate Matisse Thybulle doing, as someone who has sat there and done the editing in my own life, I appreciate the way he did this particular thing. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the program today. But when we come back, we'll take a little bit of a deeper dive with Lane Johnson and what this could mean for the rest of the Eagles locker room with him testing positive for COVID-19. Time with the Fanatic 623.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You already have questions about your right guard who's never played the position before. He's 38 years old and he's coming back to play right guard. And now your right tackle is tested positive for COVID-19. Hopefully no complications happen there. Hopefully nobody else that he has been around, which has been a lot of people, has contracted the virus also. And hopefully just everything starts out well. Off to a bad start.
I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
It's not the worst start. It is one guy, possibly two others. But it's not the first bit of news you want coming out of training camp. First bit of news you want out of training camp is like, hey, we're all here. Everything's just working out smoothly so far. Especially when you look at, over 340 athletes being tested in the bubble in Orlando. And everybody comes back testing negative. That's the kind of story that you like hearing. And Adam Silver has only done really a lot to raise his stock in his own sport as well as the sports world as well. It really is wild to see how great Adam Silver has looked really over his tenure as the commissioner of basketball, and then look at a guy like Rob Manfred, whose stock just continues to drop and drop with great aggression, I might add. But going back to football, the subject at hand, this is a big concern for me because I don't know how many other people he might have been in contact with. I hate that it's the first day, and this is what we're talking about with the Eagles being at the NovaCare Complex.
Like, if basketball and hopefully hockey aren't the exact model that society should be following, I don't know like what society is thinking. Mm. Like, seriously, look at what basketball has done. And we get to see it with Matisse Thybulle's vlog, you know, showing exactly what they have to do, exactly the protocols that they have to follow. You know, does it suck? Yeah. But you're also getting zero positive testing. Isn't that what we all want everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just follow some rules. And you know, for football players to a couple of weeks out, not even a couple of weeks. Well, I guess it was. When was his thing? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Why? Why are you doing that?
Like, I understand you want to work out.
Why do we not have the ability to look into the future and say, you know what, if I do this, maybe a couple weeks down the road, this isn't going to be a good thing.
Well, the other thing I thought about was the other side of the ball. Fletcher Cox had guys over his ranch to work out. And like,
we applauded it. Yeah. Like, we're as guilty as them. We applaud it. Oh, good. They're working together. Great.
Right,
Jalen Hurts is throwing to Rager. All right. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's fun. Honestly, I don't have an issue with that.
I know, but if something happens, then we're like, ooh, that was a bad idea.
No, but what I'm saying, Fletcher Cox had, like, what, 5-7 guys?
Yeah.
And then Lane Johnson had a camp. Like, it's a little bit different. And I do look at it, and I'm like, okay, well, doing a camp, I know they got to stay in shape in the off season. Is that the best way to do it? I know other guys, Brandon Graham and Darius Slay, were working out together, but that was like two guys, so it's a little bit more controlled.
Yeah.
You can have more time of the conversation with one other person. Like for us, it's like four guys that see each other, right? If we see Jamie and Bob, obviously, and then Pat, we all know what, I know what you're doing when you go home, basically. Like, I know you're not being an idiot. I know you're not just, hey, guess what? Party at my house. Like, I know that's not happening with like 50 people coming over your place.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the big part of trust that Doug Peterson talked about. The theme of the offseason has been trust, and I feel like we hammered this point home yesterday. When you talk about other themes that the Eagles have had, target on the back after the Super Bowl, and you know everything we do matters, it's a one-word thing this offseason. It's trust. It's trusting the guy next to you, not only to be working out and staying in shape and doing the Microsoft Teams virtual meetings and all that. It's also trust in that I know you're not going to go out, or I trust that you're not going to go out and just go to one of these mega huge Kajunga parties and then bring it into the NovaCare Complex. I'm not saying Lane Johnson was being wildly irresponsible. I'm not accusing him of that. I'm saying that you had a couple of different scenarios in the offseason where maybe it wasn't the best idea to have multiple guys over your gym to work out. Maybe it wasn't the best idea to go to a offensive lineman camp and then have little fun activities thrown in there at the same time. Maybe that's where you would have treated that atmosphere like a week of a business trip. Like, all you're going to be doing is what you're going to be doing on the field. Even that would be, I don't know, throwing caution into the wind a little bit. So, if you are looking for the silver lining, this Eagles don't play till September. Anything that was going to be going on in training camp was going to be at a lower level than what we're used to anyway. People have already come out and said expect a low level of intensity when the season actually starts because guys are going to be working their way up to it. Excuse me, not intensity, low brand of football when the season actually starts because these guys aren't going to be in the best game shape. They're not going to have any preseason games. Even the rookies aren't going to have their opportunity to get their feet wet in an NFL stadium. So right now, if you're going to look at it like that, the silver lining, as Jamie did point out, you have guys that are just reporting. You have one positive, and then you got two guys that are a little cautious right now. That if we're looking around the rest of sports, especially the Miami Marlins,
yeah,
that's and not the worst story you could have had coming into training camp, which is good. 610-632-0975. Let's get to our man Leroy Brown in Overbrook. What's up, Leroy?
What's up? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Buenas noches. I'm calling from Venus. Okay.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I'm calling from Venus, the planet Venus.
You're calling from Venus, so it's nighttime in Venus right now?
Well, all the women are there, and I'm the king of all the women, right? So that's what I'm calling from. Listen, the best sport is hockey because of playoffs, right?
Yeah, okay.
They had the best playoffs of all sports.
I do agree. Hockey playoffs are the best playoffs, yes.
Now, second is soccer. because that's the largest, people watch that the most in the world, right?
Uh huh.
Now baseball, Manfred, he's an idiot for right now, but he'll get it together one day. Okay, so we got to give him a little grace.
How many opportunities do we give this guy? Cheating is okay in his sport. Go figure.
How many opportunities are you gonna give Brett Brown? He should have been gone.
That's a little different. It's a little different. I don't want to say they're necessarily comparable.
Well, listen. At the end of the day, I love Brett Brown, but he got to go one day eventually. Manfred, give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna get it together. Now, as far as the Sixers go, as long as Embiid not eating chicken nuggets and going to rap concerts, they'll be fine.
What makes you say that, Leroy?
Because Embiid is the catalyst of the team. He got a 7-footer that can shoot threes. He don't go to the post. He should be in the post. But guess what? It's a new NBA. Big guys don't go to the post anymore, right?
So you're trusting the Sixers are going to win because Joel Embiid can make threes?
No, I'm saying they're going to win because they got Andrew Toney on their squad, which is Shake Milton. That's why they're going to win. You got to
Whoa, Leroy!
There are a lot. Wow. There are just piping hot takes coming out of this.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Is it hot in Venus right now, my friend?
No, it's cool because Leroy Brown is there.
My man.
Okay.
Touche, fair fellow. Touche.
Yes, sir. So Shake Milton. Look how many points he scored against the Clippers.
Andrew Toney, Leroy, come on.
Reincarnated.
Come on.
He don't have bad ankles either.
Come on.
So
Andrew Toney is a Hall of Famer if he didn't get hurt.
If he didn't get hurt, so now we got the one that's not going to get hurt. That's all.
What, Shake?
Wow.
You heard what I said?
All right. No, okay, Leroy.
Leroy, I'm going to hold you to that, buddy.
Yeah, you know, Leroy, let me just ask you this because I teased this earlier. Would you put Shake Milton in your starting lineup? Or excuse me, I'm sorry. Would you put Matisse Thybulle in your starting lineup?
No, I wouldn't put him in there until like the third or fourth quarter when everybody else is tired, where he can play D and stop somebody.
The best team
is a defensive team that can score when they want to. The Pistons, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Celtics. You got to copy those type of things. Offense don't win championship. Defense does.
I've heard it. Have fun in Venus, Leroy. That sounds like a good time.
Leroy. So I love what you put out there today. Matisse Thybulle, how do you use him? And I threw it out yesterday. I said, look, if you have doubts about Josh Richardson, you know, you got Thybulle coming right up, you know, his heels, ready to take some minutes from him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Thybulle in the starting lineup yet because I'm not going to take Shake Milton out because I want him in there because that's what you decided. That's the move that you made. You're Brett Brown. You decided to put Ben Simmons at the four. You got to see it. You got to see it. And you have to see it with Joel Embiid, which they've only done for 12 minutes so far this, you know, restart. But I'm digging into Josh Richardson's minutes if he's not producing a lot with Matisse Thybulle.
Right. So the option would then go to Matisse Thybulle and Shake Milton on the floor at the same time with one another. Now, Shake Milton, essentially a rookie, not technically, but essentially.
Right.
And then you also have Matisse Thybulle, who is absolutely a rookie. But the other thing that you could throw in there as a caveat is he had 4 months to regroup after the rookie wall, right? And this kind of sets up perfectly with the NBA playoffs and the 8-game warm-up and all that. The 8-game seeding period, right? The end of the regular season, if you will. It kind of lends itself to the idea that rookie wall doesn't matter anymore because he's already had the rest.
Yeah, that's gone. That wall went down just like the other wall went down in the hurricane the other day. It's down.
It's down. So is it really putting in two rookies? No, it's not, because Shake technically is not a rookie.
Well,
and then Matisse, although he's never played in the playoffs before, everything gets sped up, you know, all the cliches. I mean, to me, I just want the best players to be on the floor, and I want the best version of the Sixers to be on the floor. To me, one of the best versions of the Sixers is Matisse Thybulle being on that floor.
Yeah. Look how good they looked the other night. Ben Simmons wasn't going to play the second half. That was, you know, pre-decided before the game. So they put in Matisse Thybulle for Ben Simmons, and they didn't miss a beat. Like, they looked really good.
No,
I don't
want to
say they looked better without, but they moved the ball well. The defense was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matisse Thybulle's really good. I agree with you. He's got to be on the floor. Mm-hmm. And whether it's with, I think he can be on the floor with Ben Simmons, without Ben Simmons, however you want to shake it out. You could put Ben Simmons at the point and get Matisse off the ball, or you could have Shake Milton on the ball and have Ben Simmons to the bet, whatever it may be. I think Thybulle, I don't think you have to worry about fitting in with other players like you do other players fitting in with each other. I think he just fits fine.
Here's what I will say about that second half. Yes, they look like a better team in the second half than in the first half, and that's a little upsetting because you had Ben Simmons on the floor in the first half. like I said yesterday, that was second half of the season LSU Ben Simmons in the third preseason game. Ben didn't seem motivated at all.
No, he was crap the other night.
So he was crap. Yeah, he was bad, very bad.
Yeah.
But I don't want that to get taken out of context and, oh, we hate Ben Simmons, and then people come in with the hot takes there. I just really liked the way Matisse Thybulle played in the second half. It looked like Ben Simmons was disinterested in playing this third game. He was just going to get his run in, his, like, what, 15 minutes, if that, and then he was going to call it a night. He was there to, I don't know, punch a clock is what it looked like. He wasn't there to play. And nobody ever wants to see one of their marquee players to go out there and see them play in a lackadaisical manner. But nonetheless, that's what Ben Simmons did. Matisse Thybulle, though, in the three games throughout this exhibition period, has looked really, really good. I want to see what he does in the eight games. I want to see if Brett's going to make another adjustment. Because if Matisse Thybulle plays the way he played in these three exhibition games, during the games it counts, I think he's earned himself a starting five spot. And I think the obvious move, the easy move, is Richardson out, Matisse Thybulle in. Because if you take Thybulle, if you put Thybulle in and then take Shake Milton out, and you put Ben Simmons back in the point guard position, which I'm not really against, that really looks like a weird starting five. Because it could mean that you have Tobias Harris goes back to the four. Who plays your three? Glenn Robinson the third?
The only thing that makes me hesitant about this is, remember, like, their first skid of the season? It was when Josh Richardson went out and was hurt. And he stepped up big time when Ben went out. I do have hesitation abandoning him.
Yeah, I'm not taking him out of the starting lineup.
You're not. Okay.
I'm not.
I'm a little too...
Not even considering it.
No.
I considered it, but I'm too nervous to do it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Because it's a rookie.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to punish somebody for Matisse Thybulle playing well.
Oh, you're not punishing him.
Well, I take him out of starting lineup. No matter how you look at it, professionals, whatever.
Yeah, it matters who ends on the court.
Yeah, but it looks like a punishment.
It comes off as a punishment. It's an ego blow.
Al Horford got punished?
Yeah.
Like, I understand he got demoted, but not every demotion is a punishment. Yeah. I understand every competitor is going to take it that way, but Al Horford's a professional.
Well, yeah, he just didn't fit. Josh at least fits.
Somebody else that fits and plays better. Hey, look, I understand that he's a rookie, but I'm saying if you continue to see him play as well as he's playing, and he plays well through the eight games,
I would just increase his minutes.
That's another option as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about it, last week at this time we were talking about, all right, who do they have coming off the bench? And there was some talk, like, Thybulle might not be one of those guys, right? He's a rookie, you know, whatever. He took too many chances defensively. Is he a liability offensively? Now he's shown us, like, wow, this kid's back. Like, his legs are back. His defense is awesome. He can fit in offensively. I don't think it boosts him to starter, but I think it boosts him to really good minutes. And if somebody isn't playing well, say it's a Josh Richardson or whoever it may be, I think you're real comfortable. Look, I think really good playoff teams in basketball have that little igniter somewhere. Whether it's in your starting lineup and it's a guy that you didn't expect it to be, but most of the times it's somebody coming off the bench, you have that guy that it's like, whoa, here it is. I think he's going to be that, whoa, here it is guy, but off the bench, and I'm okay with that.
I'm not saying that it needs to happen. I'm saying it's definitely worth a look, and I think it's something that he could
Everything,
earn.
Mark, you're absolutely right.
Everything's on the table.
Exactly, and I think you're right. Your thinking is absolutely right because of where Brett Brown is and where this team is. They haven't gotten out of the second round. So they have to look at everything. You're absolutely right to question, should he be there, should he not be? And the Sixers, as an organization, would be negligent if they weren't doing the same thing.
Ooh, I love that word, negligent.
There you go.
But here's the little thing here. Imagine this. What if I told you Brett Brown went through 4 months of film study and said, I got something I'm cooking up in the 4 months here. You know what I got? You know what I'm serving? Shake Milton as my point guard. What if after 4 months of watching this team and trying to figure out what would work best, and even before the shutdown, you were tinkering with something else, you were putting Al Horford on the bench, Ben Simmons got hurt and came back off, and was a starter again. Like, if you're Brett Brown, you spent the last 4 months studying this team, and the formula you came up with was the one that doesn't work. Look, all credit to guys for open-mindedness, but that's not a good look for Brett. If he was studying for 4 months, like, what this team was doing and what he thought was the best thing ended up not being the best. Hey, look, Matisse Thybulle could have gotten better beyond anybody's expectations. He certainly exceeded mine just in the three games we've seen so far. But if he continues this ascension, it's like, okay, did he take Brett by surprise? Did he take the rest of the team by surprise? as much as he's taken me by surprise as just an outsider looking in. If Brett cooked up one thing and he's like, oh, wait, nope, this, I got a better meal now, that doesn't look the best for the head coach of the team.
Yeah, you know, and you don't know. Until you get the guys together on the floor, you don't know. You can study and think and do whatever you want, but it's like, you know, you can look at the film and then all of a sudden this 23-year-old, you turn when he comes on the floor and you're like, oh, man, that is not the player I have just studied for 3 months. Right. He is a lot better than I thought. That's what you have to do. You have to adjust on the fly. And if there's something about Brett Brown I think that we can all agree upon, it's adjusting on the fly, whether it's during a game, whether it's during a run, whatever it may be. That's not the best of Brett Brown. Like, he's not really great, as far as I can see, at adjusting on the fly to things.
No, I agree with you. Mikey KOP has something on Venus, apparently. What's up there, Mike?
Hey, I don't know who that weirdo was. This 880 degrees on Venus. I don't know how cool he thinks he is, but he's not that cool.
His name's Leroy Brown, all right? Yeah. So that's as cool as it comes.
Oh, yeah, I can copy names from songs, too. I mean, that's fine.
Go ahead, do one right now.
Billie Jean. There you go. Oh, yeah, there you go. That easy. All right, so anyway.
At least get the gender right, Michael.
Hey, you don't know. You have no idea.
Actually, you know what? You're right. I don't want to assume.
So there you go. Welcome to 2020. Everything's crazy. I don't know, guys. I'm just so, like, every time, I love listening to you guys, but every time we get up and it's just COVID this, COVID that, I'm just worn out. And, like, yeah. I get why people are at this point where they're just like, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do because it's been months and months and people are just fed up and tired. No one's getting the right answer, being told what's going on like, no one knows and everything just seems like double talk from everybody. So at this point, I don't care if they go out and, like, they needed some time to blow off steam. Like, it happens. I'm not even going to get mad at the Marlins or anybody at this point. I just, you know, people just need to live, and everybody's tired of it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's cured or there's a vaccine.
It doesn't mean it's cured, but people are just, at this point, people are fed up.
You know, the hotbed right now, I think, is Upper Darby?
Like, you're Delco. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Right now, you're looking at something, like, basically, Pittsburgh, I think, was beating us for a little. Beating us. Pittsburgh was handling this worse than us for a while.
They had us in the first half, but we regrouped. We got them in the second.
You know what happened? Max Talbot and Dan Carcillo fought, and then there was a change
of
guard.
Look at you.
Yeah!
Look at you.
Yeah, that's right, Pat Egan. You think you know hockey? Anyway.
I love you, Pat.
There's a big turn of events, and now, like, this side of the state's the leader again. So that's not exactly a good look. And I understand, like, I'm sick of it, too. I don't want to talk about this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not qualified to talk about COVID-19, but I can tell you the numbers that go up. And when this side of the state's going up, I can't offer the opinion of, well, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I understand, and I get what you're saying. But at this point, like, people just want to live their lives. And, like, I can't even fault them at this point. Even if it disrupts whatever, I don't even, like, at this point, I don't even care if sports comes back. I think people just want to live their lives and do whatever. And if it means sports don't come back, sports don't come back. I don't care.
I think some people do agree with you, but I think most don't. I think people want that norm back.
Most people are stupid, so whatever.
Well, you know what? That's not untrue, Michael. Good talking to you as always, my friend.
Good
see you. Don't you just feel better after talking to Mike? Positive outlook?
I never feel better after talking to Mike. No.
Is he wrong that... I shouldn't say most people are stupid, but there's a good amount of stupid people.
Yeah.
I mean, we can say that.
I agree with them. Like, people just want to live their lives. That's fine. I understand that. I understand people want to get out. But there's rules that you can live by and still do that also.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's not hard because it is. It sucks. I told you last week I was sitting at home and I turned to Donna and I was like, I'm bored out of my mind. Like, it got to me. But I still have to live by rules. I still, you know, I saw my cousins last night. I wore a mask when I went into their house to say hello. And then we sat outside and sat, you know, very far apart.
Right.
Like, you can do that. Yeah, living life. I wouldn't have gone to see them a couple months ago.
Right, yeah.
But I did. And I, you know, I played by the rules. Mm-hmm. I think we could all do that, right?
Absolutely. And yeah. I have the same thought. Like, I'm sick of this. This is stupid. And I'm like, well, that's exactly how we get into trouble. So let me just keep
exactly, yeah.
That's single-handedly to keep us from having football this year.
Wait, what's that?
It's single-handed. Like, that attitude is going to keep us from getting football this year.
Oh, look at you. Now, more negativity.
No, but I mean, the whole, like, all right, well, you know, we can't live like this forever, so I'm getting out there, and I'm showing the virus what I got.
All right, you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to give away a Flyers t-shirt. How about that?
That's nice.
How about that, huh?
That's awesome.
Is that a positive thing? That's an optimistic thing. You know, here you go. Let's do the fifth caller. Let's do the fifth caller to 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. We got a Flyers t-shirt to give away, people. When we come back, in case you didn't hear it already, we got a fun show announcement that we made on Monday. We're going to tease that again when we come back. But right now, fifth caller to 215-263-0975. Flyers t-shirt, we're giving away to the fifth caller to 215-263-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 652.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.